Recording is started.
Super, thank you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Subgroup C call held on Thursday, the 20th of December, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? And I already have Christine Durain noted. Anyone else? Okay. I would just want to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to Cheryl Langdon Orr. Cheryl, you can begin.
Thank you very much, Julie. It's Cheryl Langdon Orr for the transcript record, and we'll be running today through a continuation looking at the objection section of the tab we have that are the compilation, thanks to staff, of the public comments received and that have been allocated to our group, which is subgroup C. Just to begin today's call, I wanted to first of all thank everybody who has joined us and note that we have a small but representative group of people here today, and we will be continuing in 2019 as a result of today's, or yesterday's, whatever it was in my world, leadership team meeting. We will be continuing even if we end up with fewer than five non-leaders on the call, so we can continue through our triage, our sifting and sorting of the public comments. To begin with, I would like to, first of all, if there is anybody who has just joined and is only on the audio bridge since Julie began our call, if you could just let us know, and if you would just say your name, and we will put you on in the queue when we go through our work today. I would also like to offer Michael's apologies for today's call, but also formally offer Michael and his family congratulations on the expansion of A Plus One. He is a small girl in his life now, and so he is otherwise occupied with the newest addition to the family. I would finally like to ask if there is anyone who has any statements of interest that they wish to mention. Any substantive changes in their statements of interest may have anything to do with our call. Not just our call, but with the PDP work. Not hearing anyone or seeing any hands, the link to the spreadsheet for Group C has gone out on the agenda, and thank you to Julie, who's also shared with you in today's. Emily has just shared with you on the chat for today. If you are only on audio, you will, I'm sure, have committed all of this to memory. Sorry, tongue in cheek. If you must forgive my sense of humour. Or we'll have a decent-sized copy somewhere for your reference, and I think we'd also encourage anyone who can use a second screen to do so as we start our next section. Now, at our last call last week, and I should note this is, of course, the last call for our 2018 experience, we actually managed to get to a new section, which is line 195, that's 195, on the objections tab. We are hoping to finish off the objections tab, that's in section 2.8.1, and possibly get into accountability mechanism 2.8.2 in today's work. We think that is residual after that will be on our agenda for the first meeting in 2019. And I can see Steve typing. Okay, Steve's pointing out that for those of you who are not looking at the master spreadsheet, this is in fact line 30 in the displayed version. And if I can ask staff, because I will not be reading the ultra-small text on the displayed version for me, correct, Jim, it is line 195 in the Google Doc, page 30 out of the 35 pages displayed is where you should be if you're scrolling yourself in the work plan. Now, it's rather hopeful that I could fill a bit longer. We've had huge storm damage here, and I have power, and of course, with power, the satellite connection for the internet still working. I have no phone lines, but it did mean that the computer, when I turned it on for today's call, thought it was a good idea to reload the spreadsheet and hasn't actually managed to finish reloading. So right now, I in fact can't see the text that is in my spreadsheet, so I'm going to read it from the ultra-small text on the screen. Okay, so this is beginning at 2.8.1E.16, which is string confusion ejections. And here, the matter of question is a simple Boolean that we also asked for approaches, so there's some interpretive work here as well. I'll briefly read the question. The registry holder group put forward a proposal to allow single string confusion objection to be filed against all applicants. I'm just going to do this in short order, not every word and dotted I and crossed T. Under the proposal, it proposed an objection being able to file single objections that would extend to other applications for identical strings, allow for the encompassing of several applications, and that a panel would review all documents associated with such an objection, and that panel would issue a single determination across that set of identicals. We asked the question, do you support this proposal? Why or why not? And would this approach be an effective way to reduce the risk of inconsistent outcomes? Noting that in the last round, people and entities within ICANN did confirm that there was inconsistency between the panels. So this is an identified issue that we were encouraged to look at finding a way to solve. We have a group of agreements, the agreements, the ALAC, the Brand Registry Group, Inter, Newstar, the Registry Group, Google, and ITC, and there was a little embellishment from both the ALAC and Google in reasonable amounts of detail for how they felt that the better outcome could be drawn. So with that, I'm going to open a queue, hopefully a short one, on 2.8.1. What are we? E116. Anyone wishes to make a comment on the sea of green? Nope. Okay. Well, the good news for me is that the Google Doc has still not finished loading. So I've got an internet trickle of the part from an internet flow. So I shall now go back to the tiny script to use here. But unfortunately, that means I won't be able to see a hand if it goes up for a clarifying question while we're going through through the listing, and so if you can just make yourself known to me if you have something urgent. With that, we'll now then move on to 2.8.1E.17, doing objections, and here it's talking about some WorkTrack members have proposed that there should be grounds for string confusion objection if an applied for string is an exact translation of existing string in a highly regulated sector, and the applied for string would not employ the same safeguards as the existing string. The question posed was, do you support this proposal, and please explain. Here we have, and in this case we also have additional materials, important material and comments and ideas brought forward. We have support from the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy, unsurprisingly. So there's and their reasons from a consumer perspective for their agreement for this. We have agreements from the ALAC, from the United States Postal Services. We also have agreements from the ICC about some concerns. In other words, they're giving some caveat for their support, and that certainly makes sense from a intellectual property community, deeper understanding, details and motivation to have specificity in such a proposal. We have a concern or some divergence, the brand registry group and the registry stakeholder group. The registrar stakeholder group also does not support and INTA doesn't seem to give us a clear proposal response according to the current listing we have on screen. But I believe, and what I'm going to do, Jeff, is ask you to clarify why with the terminology foreign equivalents here, because you and I have spoken about this today, but in fact it should be green there. INTA does in fact support this proposal. We're about to shrink back down from full screen and open the queue, but ask Jeff to very briefly just clarify with us this foreign equivalence terminology used by INTA. Jeff?
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl. And I know that there may be people on here from the IPC, so they can jump in. But generally, the doctrine of foreign equivalency, at least I'm familiar with it in U.S. law, supports the notion that where a string is or where a term is applied for as a trademark, and that trademark is a foreign translation of an existing trademark, then trademark law would view those two the same and do their normal confusingly similar analysis under trademark law to see whether that foreign equivalent should be allowed or not. So it seems to me in reading this that INTA is supporting the notion of having an objection process based on the fact that terms are foreign equivalents of each other and can therefore be confusing. They don't necessarily address the notion of having similar safeguards, but it at least in part supports the notion of having some sort of a, at least the way I viewed it, having some sort of objection process. But it's certainly worth a clarifying question to the IPC to just make sure that my interpretation is correct. But I went back and reviewed the INTA comments, and it seemed like it was it seemed like they were supporting this proposal more so than not addressing the subject. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Gigi, over to you.
Yes, thanks. This is Gigi Levine.
INTA, not
Okay. I wanted to agree with Jeff. I think that looking at the comment from INTA, they say pretty clearly that they support the proposal. And I think the fact that they use the term foreign equivalent doesn't take away from the fact that, that they're supporting the proposal as it relates to exact translation. So in my observation, this is clearly in support of the proposal.
Thanks, Gigi. Jeff, back to you.
Yep, thanks. I put my hand up in the queue to just have a question on the IPC comment, and that might be why I was using INTA and IPC interchangeably, because I was thinking about my next comment. So I have a question for the IPC. So the, where it's labeled concerns, it says at the same time, the criteria for exact translation should be clearly detailed and have limitations. I'd like to go back to the IPC and ask them what they mean by limitations. And then the next sentence, I've read a couple times, and I don't know if it's just me that's confused, but it says the grounds for objection in terms of this proposal should also be limited to applications that attempt to have similar safeguards. Does that mean that if an application sets forth safeguards, there should still be an objection processed by the owner of the existing string to argue that the safeguards are not similar? I'm trying to understand that, so maybe that's another question for the IPC. Thanks.
We might even ask into that question, Jeff. Just in the hell of it. With the question from Justine in chat, the question relating to Inter's comment on 7.4.3.11, I'm going to confess I have not committed each and every one of these to memory, so I'm not in a position to give you details on that, but either while I'm not willing to also try and stretch my internet connection any further, let's take that as on notice, Justine, and we will perhaps even have staff copy that cell, or Jeff copy that from one of the other parts of our Google. Thank you, Jeff, our Google Doc. Although it sounds to me like Jeff is going to do that orally. Go ahead, please, Jeff.
I was just going to copy it because you said copy it. Let me do both. I'll copy what I see in their comment, although it's probably going to come out horribly. Okay, so that was, I think, the whole comment from that section.
Thank you, and hopefully that helps Justine either frame her clarifying question a little for us. But we're also going to be asking INTA for some feedback on this. So going back to our listing then, we note reasonable support for the proposal, but in fact have three divergent groups from the brand registry, registry and registrar. And that's all we can do really with that is note that we have some support, but not unanimity on it. With that, the full working group will have to decide what it wishes to do or otherwise on a recommendation. Debate it, and I'm sure they will. Now let's move to, in the Google Doc, line 2 of 2. It's a little bit like I'm calling out the numbers of bingo doing this. I normally just type those as we go through, but I do feel a bit like the bingo caller, but never mind. We are now on 2.8.1E18, legal rights, objections. The question here is, should the standard for the legal rights objection remain the same as in the 2012 one? And please explain. We have a agreement from Land Registry, US Postal Services and the Registry Stakeholder Group. We have a new, she says, following too fast, too fast, a couple of new suggestions and a little divergence from Inter on this, and a suggestion for amendments to the African guidebook. And we have the IPC diverging also, suggesting still supportive, but suggesting some more relaxed standards for trademark holders to object in specific circumstances. With that, we seem to have clear marching orders on not necessarily having a result one way or the other here, but let's open it to the queue and see who wishes to discuss any of this. Stephen, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, this is Jeff. So just as we pass this on to the full working group, I would say that we should probably classify this as, or all the comments, supportive of the notion of the legal rights objection. And really where it's divergent is with Inta and the IPC providing suggestions on improvements to the existing procedure as opposed to diverging from the concept of the legal rights objection. I think we just need to be careful in how we position it, because I don't think Inta and IPC would want to be on record diverging from the concept of the legal rights objection.
It'd be interesting to see that happen, wouldn't it? Yes, we perhaps this is another one of those times where we might actually change the red in the data, in the text there, and therefore the classification of divergence to a green of support and new idea. So we will see it as a predominantly green path with some decorative, if not festive, blue bits. Okay. Susan has also just noted the question is, should the standards stay the same? And that is exactly why I'm quite sure staff has interpreted to state divergence as they have. The answer to the question is in fact divergent from A or nay, saying nay. It's saying nay, it needs to be this, this and this. But the concept of saying the same is supported by most of them, and these two, in fact, wish it to be specifically greater detailed. We need to watch our language when we refer this on to the full working group in our covering of section. If I can ask if there's any more comments on that. Sorry, Steve is just... People are just going to insist on me switching my tiny screens all the time, aren't you? You're going to make me go blind, if not crazy, by the end of this hour. Steve was saying he's putting an explanatory note in the notes column to qualify what we have used here, what we mean here in the use of diversion, in that it is a divergence in relation to the standard of proof, rather, than the getting ourselves boxed in, as we often can without careful attention to detail, using simple yay or nay terminologies, and asking for explanations and then trying to get the easy analysis done. If I can now draw your attention to line 218 in the Google Doc, and this is our next section, which is 2.8.1E19. And here, there was a WorkTrack member that submitted a straw line, a strawman or red line edit of the African Guidebook section 3.222, and we asked for specific responses on views on this edition. We in fact had INTA and IPC supporting, but we had the registry stakeholder group opposing the edits with particular explanation from them as to why they thought those edits would significantly expand the scope of the legal rights objection, and they were concerned that this was likely to cause a drift away from the original policy. So with that, I will open up for comments on E19. Everyone just takes what it is as it is, and though we can note here that there is some support, but not full unanimity in consensus. And again, that's what we pass on in our observations. Jeff, over to you. You just didn't want me to get to triple two on the line, did you?
No, I like extending things. this is Jeff Newman for the record. So I just wanted to note that, you know, this was an issue, and I know when we were writing this section of the report, it was a little bit difficult because the proposal that was on the table was from Paul McGrady, who's a member of the IPC and is a member of the group. We had kept, as part of that that work track, we kept inviting Paul back to try to explain the proposal, and for whatever reason, we just couldn't get him back to talk about it. So it was one of those where it was included in the report, but most people didn't understand it. So the IPC comment of, you know, understanding more about the proposal, I think is a good one, because I think as the work track, we didn't understand the proposal. And so I guess what I would do is go back to Paul McGrady and the IPC and see if he can address the comments from INTA and IPC on understanding the proposal, because it was one that the work track couldn't do. It just received a red line from Paul, and then, like I said, tried to invite him back several times for the call, scheduled it, and just didn't materialize. Thanks.
It didn't work out. Things happen like that. We work with volunteers, Darren, and there are no penalties for a volunteer not turning up. So until we change that, no, Paul's wife is busy like many of us, and this is the way that the group thought it was easiest to do, in the absence of clarity on exactly what was meant and a deep understanding of what was meant. Being given as requested to pass it on to public comment, and you can see what the results are. We can, of course, ask when we have this go through, I'd rather take it through and ask Paul to be present at the, or send some edification for the full working group's consideration than hold it up in our subgroup, however. So we will ask, we'll give him the opportunity to try and pitch this a little bit one more time, an elevator pitch one more time for the full consideration. Right now we have a few responses and not overwhelming support, but some support and indeed convergence. Kathy has asked in the chat a number of questions about the any data that we may have on the success of these, sorry, it would be wonderful if the chat didn't keep jumping, wouldn't it, as how good the legal rights objection systems worked. Steve, thank you very much. Did say that there are statistics in the initial report on the outcomes, and that is very true, but of course, and dealing with this question of variation with it between panels. The question is very much influenced by whether the panels determined everything accurately
and objectivity of the system is untested. Certainly was observed, and it is perhaps a data set that is going to require expansion and considerable more analysis before we could have any definitive data on that. But as Jeff has just said as well. So if I don't have anyone else wishing to make an observation on this section, I do. Kathy, all right? Stick to the matter in case I didn't do jump into your.
Hi, everybody, and hi, Cheryl. Sorry for coming in late. And hopefully you can hear me with my cold in the background. So question, if Paul pitches the working group on a new proposal for the legal rights objection, how does that go out to the public for review, for further review? Because clearly here we've got...
You want me to answer that question first?
Right. But we've got the intellectual property guys talking about a proceeding that's of great interest to them. But ultimately, it should be, you know, any major changes should be going out to the community. Thanks.
Yes, I was perfectly happy to answer the expedited version of your question, but I'm just trying to push through to get us to a lump of work reviewed before we take a seasonal and a Gregorian calendar break. So I'm not going to apologise for putting pressure on everyone to continue today. Yes, Jeff, that does include you. How would Paul doing an elevator pitch to the working group affect it? May or may not, but this is a question already posed to, and details were given to the public in the interim report. We have responses to it, which are six of one and a half dozen of the other, or not quite, it's sort of 70-30. So all we're to the full working group is it is 70-30. And if, as the opportunity wasn't taken, for Paul to present to the work track in gory detail so that we could get a greater and deeper understanding of people's opinions and perhaps recommendations to have been made from the work track, we can do him the courtesy of giving him 60 to 120 seconds to do so. Whether it'll have any influence, who knows? I don't. May do, may not. But then again, a final report, if anything comes from this into it, does go to the public. That's where that opportunity happens. This is our initial report, people, not our final report. Public, fear not. You will still have an opportunity. Okay. And as Jeff is saying, it would only get support. You can read your chat if you want it. Right, I am going to get mine 2.2.2, simply because it's a bit personal objective. It's a little over half an hour through our call, and I like to tip off objectives from time to time. And this is taking us to the other comments section. And so here, these are what they are, quite often, new ideas. We have a suggested outreach for applicants receiving objections from the Dot Trademark TLD Holding Company Limited, it is what it is. It's a new idea, and probably a thing that we need to pass on for the federation. We also have a new idea regarding homonyms. From the Thai Network Information Centre Foundation, and from a larger comment, a more extensive comment, staff have managed to extract new ideas which are relevant here to this section from more missive style of input to regarding fairness, etc. From the Council of Europe several from the Council of Europe. I'm counting three, not two, from the Council of Europe. We should note here that the style of public comment from the Council of Europe means that we will find on a number of these sections, and in fact in a number of the subgroups, these sort of overarching or general from the Council of Europe being called out as an other comment, these comments need to be treated very much in the same way, even though they're not answering specific questions and stuff as such. And overall, they go to matters of general accountability, general transparency of the system, and indeed, in this case, fairness, and all intending to improve the general flow and the way that third parties and external bodies can look at and have confidence in this process. So we do want to thank the Council of Europe for the work they've done. Sorry, I'm getting messages in from my next call. I'm glad Kathy likes the idea of public input. Right. We have also the discourse in from a few other contributors. The ALAC decided to give us the rationale in detail for their advocacy of the independent as ALAC as an independent objector. ALAC and the independent to advocate. The ALAC and the independent objector have active roles in filing objections. Are they surprising here that they give the rationale there? We also have a substantive comment from Christopher Wilkinson and from Vanda Scardazzini, and if my document would scroll, I would be able to say if there is any more. I don't believe there is. Staff can correct me. And with Vanda's comments, she's obviously taking her specific experience from the staff of the Southern House, the Southern Hemisphere, is a specific account, and it would moot as well to note that. I see Steve's hand up. Steve, over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I was actually, this is Steve from staff. I was looking at line 227, the comment from the Council of Europe, and it talks about extending the grounds for the legal public interest objections. So I was thinking that one, while it's under general comments now, might make more sense in one of the we just went over. That was asking about the standards for the scope for. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have an objection to that. Duplication here is done that it's duplicate, but if it has relevance and it will assist our compilation for any advice, I certainly have no objection. Is anyone else? I know that Kathy's typing. Kathy, that has made a comment on what Steve just said. You can use the microphone. She and Jeff are interacting, and that's fine. That's one of the good things about chat. You can have a couple of parallel activities going on. So no objection to that, Steve. Let's make a go. And I'm getting all very excited now because we're going to move to our next tab, and we've got a little more than 15 minutes to dive into 2.8.2 accountability mechanism, which was the thrill-packed and exciting work of Work Track 3. Okay. All ready? Move on to our next tab? Excellent. Line 3 on the Google Doc, and I'm assuming page 1 of this tab's work, which we'll be loading shortly into the Adobe Connect screen, reads 2.8.2c1. ICANN should create a new substantive appeal mechanism specific to new GTLD programs. Such appeals process will not look into whether ICANN to changing ICANN bylaws by making or not making a certain decision, but we'll also evaluate whether the original action or action done is in accordance with the applicant guidebook. And I hope I rephrase that from my preparatory notes. Two calls are in scribbled shorthand. So if I've missed a word and changed the purpose of the question, please stop me and let me know. Not hearing anybody yell at me, I'm going to assume that my scribbled notes are doing me some justice while the document is still loading in the Adobe Connect room. Right, okay, my internet's finally caught up, yay. We have support from the ALAC, we have support from the Grand Registry Group, we have support from INTA and from the recommendation 35, specifically the CCTRT report. We have support and new ideas, but also a little divergence or concern, which is an outline in the multicoloured text from the registry stakeholder group, that there certainly supports the introduction of the substantive appeals process for certain types of dispute. And we have, again, support, a new idea, and again, a little bit of limitation or not quite divergence, but nevertheless similar as to whether or not an embellishment, shall I say, from Validia. It's the icing on the cake. It really is supportive of their rationale for their new idea. And we have, again, here the non-commercial stakeholder group making the point that it thinks that these mechanisms were insufficient in scope and capacity and would like to have the cross-community working group on accountability recommendations actually reviewed with the divergent opinion. It's not that they're not looking at supporting change here, that they're looking specifically for a review of what the meaning is of limited appeals mechanisms, etc., from a non-commercial stakeholder group. I see Jeff's hand up, and hopefully he's got a larger screen open in the kind of documents to more readable than mine. I'm going to take us to the next step in conversation on this. And with that, I'm also opening the queue to anyone else. Over to you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. I admit I'm reading this question, and I know we had a number of discussions in a number of different groups. So I thought that the initial report said that it wouldn't look into whether ICANN violated the bylaws, but only look into whether the action or inaction, which I think is the right word there, was done in accordance with the applicant guidebook. But if the question did say what's written up there, then I think that at least with the registries, Validaeus, I think that shouldn't be brown for concerns, but that's really divergence with the notion of having an appeals mechanism that looks into whether ICANN violated the bylaws. So I think it should be a little bit stronger than just has a concern. So I think if we were to draw conclusions from these comments, at least up until Validaeus, I think that those groups support the notion of a substantive appeals process on whether ICANN acted or did not act in accordance with the guidebook. but at least the registries and Validaeus oppose the notion of an appeals mechanism addressing whether ICANN violated the bylaws. So I think that should be a little bit more clearly set out when we report this to the full working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. And
hi, this is Christine.
I'm
can I get in the queue?
Sure can. In fact, you are next.
Oh,
thank you. Over to you.
Great. Thank you. This is Christine, and I'm sorry I'm on audio only. And I just wanted to say, Cheryl, thank you so much for running this call in such a way that I can participate on audio only. So thank you. I just wanted to echo what Jeff had to say, is that the divergence is actually a bit stronger. And I think the registries, I helped write the registry comment. And one of the things that we try to do to help is we listed a few examples. So we listed some types of things, and maybe it's further down in another row. I don't remember the row exactly. But we listed two or three examples of the types of things that would be right for an appeals process, and then some things that wouldn't be, including, as Jeff pointed out, ICANN violation of the bylaws, because that's what the IRP is for. So if this specific row is not super instructive, I just invite the group to look down a little farther, because I think we flesh it out a little bit farther, possibly below. I might be confused on the rows. But thanks, Jeff, for speaking up for the registry.
And thanks, Christine, for I think actually giving us text. Literally, we're probably going to quote you in what we say to the full work group. So thanks for that. And I am glad you are managing. It's very difficult. I've done a number of calls on audio only, and it certainly has its own challenges. So thanks for being able to step in and I think help us all understand. So we probably will have this. It's more than just a shade of orange, but heading to that umber shade of red. Thanks very much to both of you. And I think we've got some marching orders on language that we can use to help the full working group as well. Katrine, also in chat, is asking about... On statements of does not support, etc. And I think that's been dealt with in the chat. I have a hard stop coming to the top of the hour with yet another ICANN call. But that's all right, that one is going to be starting at my 3 a.m. So that's a luxury. So I do want to watch our time very closely. I just want to note before we go to Steve that... Jeff made a point in the chat, which is important to note for the record, that even though he's employed by one of the respondents, he's not responsible for the comments that were submitted from the company. And Jeff, it is important to have us reminded of that from time to time. And with that on the record, I'm going to go to Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, Cheryl. This is Steve from staff. So I was looking at line 12 of the Google Sheet. It's the comment from the NCSG. And in a reread, I noticed that there's a sentence that wasn't highlighted. It says that bearing in mind, developing accountability mechanisms and or a reconsideration process, I think to the needs and requirements of the new GTLD program would be a significant improvement. So in rereading that, it seems like that is agreement. And I've actually already made the change in the Google Sheet, so I just wanted to alert you all to that change. And to the extent you disagree, I can back that up, of course. But I believe my reading is correct, but I'd appreciate if the NCSG members told me I'm incorrect. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Yes, I saw that change being made in the enormously sized screen of my mobile phone that I'm trying to keep contact on. At least what numbers we're up to in the Google Doc. So I see Kathy is typing, so that would be line 12 of the tab on two-point accountability mechanisms, Kathy. We've got a couple of minutes, so let's see if we can look to qualifying that, but I certainly am comfortable with it showing that limited support on the specificity in principle
having specific, I can't read it anymore, it's far, far too small. The line, they're now green, that Steve has changed it to green. It's a level of agreement, as Steve is now saying, with the recommendation, that there are divergent points which are made in great detail and with more to see on the next. Okay. Steve, I'm not seeing anyone jump up and down saying revert that to some other colour, so thanks for that. That's a very good catch. In fact, it's one of the reasons we continue to go through. I just want to stop momentarily before we go into our next section on line 13 and see if anyone did have any other business. If we do, then I will move to that section now. If we don't, then I'd like to push through a little bit further into our next section of 2.8.2C2. I'm not seeing anyone jump up and down with any other business. Great. Let's spend a couple of minutes and then just 2 minutes at the end with other business, noting the date of our next call, and see if we can get a little bit of a way through 2.8.2C2, which is line 13 of the Google Doc. And here, this is one of those hopefully relatively simple questions, which is why I want to get to it. The process must be transparent and ensure that panelists, evaluators, and dependent objectors are free from conflict of interest. We have the ALAC in support, Brand Registry Group in support, Business Constituency in support, Inter in support, ICC in support, and we needed to go back to the previous response from the registry stakeholder group, but I believe it's a support but with particular qualifications and I think additional suggestions made from registry stakeholder group. But if someone with larger screen and quicker capabilities than mine, under my current storm damaged circumstances, could just support me on that, I would, pardon the pun, appreciate that. Steve, Jeff, have I got the right of it on the registry stakeholder group, line 20 comments? If so, then we have a sea of green that section. Katrine, obviously not, because she was asking about the referencing the previous answer, how can we classify it? Limited support, and not objecting. Jeff feels yes, so I'll let you two discuss that further if you feel the need. But right now I'm certainly seeing overwhelming support, if not complete consensus on that question. And with that, we've got to pretty much where I wanted to. Thank you, team, in today's 1 hour of allocated time. But noting we did start 3 minutes past the hour, we've done extraordinarily well. Which means next year's, isn't that delightful to say? Not next week's, next year's Thrill Packs and Exciting Adventure will pick up our agenda starting in 9:20, that is 2.8.2C.3 of accountability mechanisms. Oh, well, I'm thrilled. I hope all of you are as well. While staff hopefully put up the date and time of our next subgroup meeting in January, I'm assuming it'll be in the week of January 9th, but they'll be quite specific momentarily and save my fiddling about and finding it for myself. Jeff notes, because he's been on enough of these calls with me, that I constantly, over the years, do say ex-year, but at this time of year, say at the beginning of the Gregorian calendar new year, because we're in APAC, I'm well and truly aware that there's a whole bunch of new years that come up at the beginning of one's next lunar
lunar marking cycle. January 2nd will indeed be a new year. January 9th will be a new year. January 2nd will still be this year. And we will therefore be meeting in the Gregorian calendar 2019, Thursday the 3rd of January at 2000 UTC. Good heavens, I can actually have my morning coffee in hand for that one. I want to thank all of you for not only joining us in this, I know, not terribly exciting, but still very important review of public comments. Please, all of you, be safe if you are travelling. Have all the best wishes of the season to you all. And that's all right, because I'll wish you various New Years as we go through to, I think, the last New Year is in March and in our 2019 Gregorian calendar. Thank you, one and all. Thank you, staff. Stay safe. Stay fabulous. And I look forward to working with you more. Bye for now.
Thanks, Cheryl. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Today's meeting is adjourned. You can disconnect your lines and have a good rest of your day. Thank you.